Today, I'd like to talk with you about this idea of all of Jesus for all the world. When Jesus gave his final command to his disciples, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been granted to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all people, teaching them all that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm skipping a part. My mind's getting old. Teaching them all I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, good. Then I did have it right. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'd like us to think about, what does it mean, all of Jesus for all of the world? Because this is a big statement that we are saying, that we believe that we have the creator of the world, that we get to call the creator of the world Father. And that because of Jesus, we get the privilege of sharing all of him to all of his creation. And so that's a powerful thing to say. And I'd like us to begin to just grab a beautiful glimpse into the deep truths of our wonderful risen Savior. And so I'm going to actually reread the passage that we just kind of recited together, because I think it's important for us. First off, you can never read the Bible too many times. So I always like to read it multiple times, which is, if you'll forgive me, I'm going to read it another time for you. But this passage is beautiful. It's a beautiful prayer, and I'd like us to focus on a very specific part of this prayer today. But this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when he was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount goes like this. He says, Jesus said to the disciples, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a beautiful prayer. But there's a danger to a prayer like this, to a passage like this, that when we recite it so many times, it becomes rote. It becomes just words we hear. Like if you say the word penny 1,000 times, penny, 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 eventually the word penny will just sound like noise. And I worry that when we recite beautiful texts like this, we forget to slow down and listen to what's being said. Because I fear too often we jump over the first two verses and just go quickly to give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And we often forget as we forgive our debtors, but that's another sermon if you invite me back. And then we prayed, lead us not into temptation. And these are good parts of the prayer, but they come after the first two verses. They come after we recognize the beauty and the holiness of our Heavenly Father and the power and majesty of his kingdom. And so today I'd like to focus specifically on verse 6 where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done here in Helam as it is in heaven. Are we in York or Lancaster County? York County, here in York County as it is in heaven. Here in eastern Pennsylvania as it is in heaven. Because this is a deep and profound and dangerous. Let me warn you, this is a dangerous prayer. But I dare you to pray it. I challenge you to pray it. Because when we have a big view of the kingdom of God, we will make profound impact in the world around us. Those who have made the biggest impact for the kingdom of God, or made the biggest impact in this world, have had the biggest view of the kingdom of God. I think of the abolitionists, the men and women who fought against that evil institution of slavery. They had a big view of the kingdom of God. They had a big view of the kingdom of God, and they saw one person created in the image of God, thinking that they could own another person created in the image of God. And these abolitionists said, that is an anathema. That is, no way is that glorifying to my Heavenly Father, who is loving, grace-filled, just. And so they fought against that institution of slavery and broke its back in the West because they had a big view of the kingdom of God. And it's my desire for Valley View Alliance Church that you would get a big view of the kingdom of God. And that when you would pray the Lord's Prayer, you would pray it with awe and wonder and excitement for the way that God is going to institute His kingdom here in Valley View, here in Hellam, here in York, here in Pennsylvania, as it is in heaven. So today I'd like to share with you a story of my friend Bernard, because he's got a big view of the kingdom of God. Bernard, he is a musician in Africa, and he has this profound ability to sing. Like, I just love listening to his music. He has a beautiful voice. He can play piano amazingly. And when he sings, people listen. Now, Bernard's story starts when he was a young man. He, just out of school, he's playing piano and singing, and somebody recognizes his talent and says, hey, why don't you come on tour with me around the French-speaking world? We'll go on stage, we'll go on tour, we'll go, I think he went to Europe and, you know, all around West Africa and singing. But during this time, he was a young man, and he was singing for the name and renown of Bernard Sisa. And he was going on stage and he was getting popular and people were starting to recognize him, but he was singing for his own renown and glory. And he started to do the things that young men do when they're singing for their own fame. He started chasing the alcohol and the drugs and the women, and he was going down a dark path. But in the midst of all of that, God did something amazing. Jesus captured his heart. And when Jesus captured his heart, he said, Bernard, you see this path you're heading down, the drugs and chasing the women and chasing your own fame. That is incompatible with who you are as my son. So you have a choice to make. Chase those things or chase me. And Bernard's like, who's Bernard Sisa? I want Jesus. And so he began to chase the fame and renown of Jesus. So he gave up the stage. He gave up seeking the fame. He gave up seeking the glory for his name. Gave up the music and followed Jesus. He began working at I believe it was Wycliffe Bible Translators, an office there near where he lived in West Africa. And his job was to make copies of messages, copies of the Bible, and that's been translated into the local languages so people could have the Bible and Christian messages in their own local language. And his job, I always picture it in a small room. I don't actually know. I never saw where it was, but I always picture it as a small room with one light, and he's making copies of DVDs and CDs so that they can be distributed throughout West Africa. But during that time, there was a man of God who was pouring into his life. He was loving on Bernard Sisa and giving him the foundation to know who he is in Christ. And I'd like to pause right here, give you a bonus sermon, if I may, parentheses here. This man was pouring into Bernard's life. And I'd like to challenge you today. I have two challenges. For those of you who are young, where's my people filling out the kid sheets? It's not a question on here, but you can write it at the bottom. Make it an additional question. Is I want to tell you something, is that you're never too young to be used by God. You are never too young to be used by God. Even today, God has ways that he would love to use you for his glory. Now, for those of us who are getting the gray hair, if you're filling out your gray hair sheets, is that what or do they just call it the notes? No. My kids make fun of me because every day that goes by, my beard gets more and more gray and the hair escapes my head. So every hair that gets gray here, I lose like three up here, but that's another story. That has nothing to do with the message, but you're never too old to be used by God. You are never too old to be used by God. I like to tell the story of my dad when he was dying of brain cancer. In his last couple of months, he could barely keep his hands from shaking, and he was typing out letters to his church telling them what God was teaching him, even in those final moments, how God was enriching his life with his presence during that difficult time. And he was still loving the people of God, loving the people of this world, and hoping to see as many come to him know Jesus as possible. And I'd like to challenge you, those of us that have been down the road a little bit farther than others, is I hope that you can be like this man that poured into Bernard's life. Because the young people of today are dying because they do not know that they are loved and seen. The last church I was at, I had a young girl when I was talking to the youth group. I said, what are some of the needs you see in your community? She raised her hand and said, the kids need love. They aren't getting the love that they need. And I worry because a lot of times I think churches think they need the big band, the lasers and the smoke shows and the bubbles and, you know, you don't need that. You don't need the technology. It's fun. It's a great gift by God, and I praise God for technology, but that's a distraction if we aren't doing the first and most important thing, and is loving and pouring into the people who are coming up behind us, the generations coming up behind us. How are we loving and pouring into them? How are we allowing our experience to help inform their experience? The number of men who have spoken into my life and said, hey, there's a pit hole fall here. There's a big pothole. Don't step in it. It goes down really far. I've stepped in it 100 times and they helped me walk around it. I've tried to do that to other people who are not as old in the faith as me and saying, hey, here's a pitfall I stepped in. Please, here, let me show you how to walk around it. And that's the challenge that I give to you today. How are you pouring in to the generations coming up and loving on them? Close parentheses. That was a free sermon. I'm not charging you for that one. So this man pours into Bernard's life, and Bernard faithfully serves God with love to make these CDs so the name of Jesus could go out. And after doing this for a while, God says, okay, now you're ready. Now I want you to go and make music again. But this time, don't make music for Bernard Sisa, make music for my name, make music for the name of Jesus Christ. Bernard said, I'm all in. Let's do this. So he took all of his money and cut his first album. And as they say, in 2020 and 2021, the album went viral. It started getting played everywhere. started, you know, getting played on the radio. It started getting, he was able to get a music video together. Guys started getting played on TV. He was getting invited onto the Senegalese equivalent of The View or The Five or whichever talk show you watch. It was the Senegalese equivalent. And so now he's sitting between a local religious leader and a Catholic priest, and he's there showing the narrow way, the beautiful way of grace of Jesus Christ. And people are amazed at this young man's wisdom, because he is taking the time to get to know and love the Word of God. And he has a big view of the kingdom of God. And so then, and fast forward to today, God sends my friend and colleague that we prayed for this morning, Jan, who's a missionary from Holland. He's an Alliance missionary from Holland. And he helped Bernard with administration and helped creative types. They have a lot of vision and they need those administrative guys to help them focus their vision to make it achievable. And then God sent me, and I was able to be the media guy and do photography for Bernard, which was like, I went to school to be a theologian, and here I am in Africa as a professional photographer. I don't get it, Lord, but you're amazing. I don't know how we do it, but you are a good God, Lord. And so we were able to help Bernard. Now, here's where Bernard's big vision of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is. Bernard wants the name of Jesus proclaimed all across West Africa. But he doesn't even care if he's the only, actually, he'd prefer if it wasn't just him doing it. He wants to see an army, or I should say, a large group of musicians and artists making much of the name of Jesus, transforming the culture of West Africa so that the name of Jesus would be proclaimed. And there's something I love about the Alliance is that when we send out missionaries, we make an important point that the missionaries learn the local languages. And the reason we make the missionaries learn the local languages, much to my chagrin in France trying to learn the language of West Africa, which is French, which was very difficult for me at the time, it is a beautiful thing, because there's this thing that we talk about in missionary circles is called the heart language. A lot of times the language people grow up learning is, we call it their heart language. It's the language when you speak to them, it touches their heart the quickest. And so when I take the time to learn somebody's heart language and speak to them about the beautiful truths of Jesus, even though I might do it very imperfectly, they know that what I am saying is important, because I took the time to learn the language of their soul so that they could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But I'd like to tell you today, there's a different type of language. What slide am I on? We'll do that one. There is another type of language. There is the language of music. I believe wholeheartedly that music is a language unto itself. When I'm spending way too much time on YouTube, which I occasionally do, the algorithm will feed me up videos of these people. I don't know how they do it exactly, but they take scenes from movies. And when they take scenes from movies, they take out the musical score of that movie and just leave the dialogue. And you watch it, and it's kind of like, huh. I remember the scene being a lot more epic. It's almost kind of boring and mundane now with just the dialogue. And then they put the music back in, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to storm the beaches, yeah. And what's happening is the music is communicating an emotional truth, a spiritual truth to that scene that we can't quite exactly touch in words. Why do you think it is that we as Christians, when we gather together, The first thing we can't help but do is sing. And if you play Ring Collective, I might dance. It's because there's something about music that when we get together, we sing together, so our hearts and souls and affections are churned and lifted up toward our Heavenly Father in a way that only music can do. And I think when we get to heaven, when you read in the Bible and you see the throne room of God, there's always music playing. And I think that's because there'll be a profound way that we will be declaring the glory of God in music. When we see, and I believe it's Revelation 7, where every tribe, tongue, and nation is gathered together and they're singing, "Salvation belongs to our God." I think that's one of the most beautiful images in the Bible, where you have this profound diversity and perfect unity declaring the glories of our Heavenly Father. And they're doing it, I believe, probably with very different musical styles, but they go together very well. You'll have Chinese music playing. You'll have Senegalese music playing. You'll have Russian music playing. You'll have South American music playing. You'll have rhythm and blues, jazz, country music. Dare I say it? We might even have some rap. Some rock and roll. I'm pretty sure that in Isaiah chapter 6, when the throne room of the temple is shaking, somebody's shredding a pretty mean bass guitar there. At least that's what my 16-year-old self thinks. There is something in music that declares the strength and the beauty and the glory of God, and churns our hearts and affections in ways that nothing else can do. And it is Bernard's desire that the people of Africa have a way to sing from their heart straight to the Heavenly Father. That they have a way in their own musical heart language to approach God directly. Because one of the things that when I was teaching pastors and leaders is I would say, did you know that the first person to convert to Christianity outside the Jewish people was an Ethiopian? The first councils in the church, the council that gathered together and prayed over and labored over the books of the Bible that we hold so dear and compiled them together, was held in North Africa. The council that got together and articulated the beautiful and profound truths of the Trinity, that we have one God in three persons, in beautiful, loving community with Himself, that was formulated and articulated in North Africa. And so I tell the African people that Christianity has a huge debt to Africa. Their eyes and hearts get just wide, like, oh my goodness. Because there's this thought that, oh, I have to go to somebody from the West to get Christianity. And it's, no, you can go straight to Jesus. And that's why Bernard wants an army of musicians and artists who are able to use their art, use their crafts, use their music to make much of Jesus, so that all of the world can have all of Jesus. So some of the things we do to do that is, see if it's the next slide. Haha. I got lost in my slides at some point. We have an event called the Forum for International Christian Artists. And I don't think we've had it since COVID hit, but what we would do is artists from all over the French-speaking world, specifically from the African French-speaking world, would come to Dakar, and we'd teach these young men and women how to sing, how to dance, how to record music, how to comport yourself on stage, how to produce, how to even do like media and photography. But more importantly, we teach, what does it mean that I am a Christian and I am making much of Jesus with my art? What does it mean that I am a Christian and I am singing about His glory? And this picture right here. That girl right there on the far left, I think it's, oh good, it stopped looping. when she was singing, every night we'd have concerts, and she had burns down the right side of her face. And as she got up and sang, she sang this profoundly beautiful song of how she had to reach out to Jesus in that moment and find her identity in him. Because when our face gets burned and when we have damage to our body, it affects our identity. And she had to turn to Jesus to find her identity. And it was beautiful. There was a old musician from France who is real well known. Everybody kind of in that area knew him. And after she finished singing, he kind of stopped the concert and came up onto stage and said, I hope you were all listening to her, because she sang more about the kingdom of God than than the rest of everything I said combined. And she was able to touch people's hearts with that music. And those guys in the middle, they're from a people group called the Serer people group. And their music is just, you can't listen to it and not dance. I mean, a lot of drums, and it's very loud and joy filled. And I don't know if you can see it on that picture, but the guy on the left is just smiling ear to ear and having a blast. But when they were making their music, they were thinking, oh, we can't, there's no way we could make an album, right? There's no way we could make an album. But because of the confidence they got because of the forum, they were able to make their own album. After the first forum they went to, they went and said, let's make an album. And so they cut their first album, and now the name of Jesus is being sung to the Serer people group over and over again, because these men felt confident to follow Jesus with their joy and passion. And so in 2018, I think it was, we launched a studio in Dakar so that we could record Bernard's voice, but other Christian musicians, so that we could multiply the number of people singing about the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus. Now here's where I'll challenge you. I'm going to bring it back to the beginning. Remember how I said this prayer, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I said that this is a dangerous prayer, and I meant it. Because what we are doing when we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, we are saying, Lord, I want your kingdom to break through in the here and now, that your will, your majesty, your glory would be recognized as if you were standing here right now as king, that your justice would be felt, that your mercy would be felt, that your grace would be felt here and now as king. There's something I noticed when I was with the army and I was in Iraq, is that when one kingdom breaks through into another kingdom, the kingdom being broken into is going to resist. That when one kingdom breaks into another kingdom, the kingdom that is being broken into will always resist. I'm here to tell you today that there is somebody who thinks that Valley View Alliance Church belongs to him, that Helen, Pennsylvania belongs to him. There's somebody who thinks Western PA or Eastern PA, Central PA, Pennsylvania belongs to him. There's somebody who thinks the United States belongs to him. North America, Africa, Europe, South America, and even Australia. Satan thinks this world belongs to him. Satan thinks that he is the king of this world. And when we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, Lord, may your kingdom break through this kingdom of darkness and destroy it. And that is a dangerous prayer because Satan will come back. Satan will know that he is being pushed. His kingdom is being pushed out and he will fight. He's already lost. But like a lion with a broken back, he can still be dangerous. But that's my challenge to you as a church. I dare you to be dangerous to Satan. I dare you to be dangerous to Satan. I hope that this church is known as a church that irritates Satan. Yes, make him mad. I like that. But make him mad by focusing on Jesus and his kingdom. In 2019, we were preparing for a concert called Jesus Only. Now, this concert was... this concert was in the middle of Dakar, open-air concert, declaring Jesus only in a country that is less than 1% can actually articulate what does it mean to be a Christian. So this is a beautiful opportunity. But Satan did not want the name of Jesus being proclaimed in Dakar. He didn't want young kids like this hearing Jesus only. So leading up to the concert, all kinds of crazy stuff began to happen. First, like every male member of our team got sick, like just kind of knocked out of the fight sick. It just, you know, either colds or one thing or another. I ended up getting a gallbladder attack, and I had to be evacuated back to the States to have my gallbladder removed. And I was like, I'm in the middle of planning this concert. It's like I'm finally like doing something amazing. And now I have to go back to the U.S. to get my gallbladder removed. It's like, all right, Lord, I don't know what's happening, but may even in this you be glorified. There was some friends of our team who were in other countries. They were local pastors in other countries. They ended up getting kidnapped. And so this is now weighing heavily on our team. They, by the grace of God, they were able to escape. One of them was saying that they were just praying one morning that God would open up a door so that they could escape. And that's literally what happened. Somebody left a door open at the place they were holding him hostage. And him and his son were able to run out the door and run down the road and get saved. But it was still something incredibly heavy. There was a local partner who's a doctor. He was well known for his love of Jesus. He was well known for coming from a people group that said that there's no Christians in their people group. But he said, oh, no, quite contraire. I love Jesus. And even like the government had a great deal of respect for him. Even religious leaders would sit at his feet to listen to his wisdom. He developed a hospital that serviced one of the areas of Senegal and was well known. He passed away one day just suddenly of a heart attack, leaving a gaping hole in our community. There was another colleague who was driving home one night. A motorcycle struck his vehicle, and the motorcyclist got killed. And so then it's like, now is he going to be put in prison? Is he, you know, now he's suffering from the effects of this, like, and we're just praying over him and just burdened for him and wondering what's happening. He, by the grace of God, he was able to go free. He's still able to minister in Senegal. I'll continue to pray for him. I keep his name, just pray for my friend in Senegal, but all of this happened within the course of a month. The month leading up to this concert where we're going to be proclaiming Jesus only. Because Satan did not want the name of Jesus going forth. And I'll tell you today, it was no mistake these past few years. These past few years, Satan wants to destroy Jesus' church. And he'd be happy to use the coronavirus to do that. See, here's Satan's strategy, especially for the church in North America. Satan's strategy is keep the church comfortable, complacent, and divided. Satan would be very happy if you met every Sunday comfortably in your pews, and you were so comfortable that you never left. You're so comfortable you only kept it to Sunday morning. And that we begin to spiritually fall asleep. And in that, he'll start sowing division. Sometimes joked in 2020, I saw more churches divided over 6 inches of fabric. Used to be you'd fight over the color of the carpet. At least there's a couple hundred square feet of fabric there. But I saw churches literally dividing over, a couple inches of fabric. Satan wants us comfortable, complacent, and divided. He wants us thinking that the church is these walls. These walls in this building is a beautiful and wonderful gift from God. But it is not his church. We are his church. We are his people. And do you know how the world out there is going to know that you belong to Jesus? Jesus said it to his disciples. He said, they will know you are my Christians by going the speed limit? No. Wearing fancy clothes on Sunday morning? No, it's not that. I know, never going to an R-rated movie. No, wait, hold on. No. Jesus said to his disciples, they will know that you are my followers. They will know you are Christians by your love. How are you loving one another? Even when you have conflict and disagreement, how are you loving one another? How are you forgiving one another? How are you apologizing to one another? How are you seeing the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ and pouring deeply into their life? When they may not even see the need and you're like, hey, bro, I see this need that's just growing in your life. Can I minister to you in this way? How are you loving on one another? How are you loving to the world outside of these walls? When I was in pastoring up in Wellsboro, in Tioga County, there was a tremendous drug problem. I got sick of reading the newspaper and seeing another young man dying, another young woman dying of drug overdoses. So my question began, how can I love on those kids that don't have fathers and don't have mothers or stuck in this darkness? How can I be the light and love of Jesus to those who are in that place? And when you bring love into darkness like that, it's a powerful spotlight. And I challenge you today, the way you're going to make the biggest impact in this world and in this community is not technology. Once again, wonderful, beautiful. I love the music that we play. It's not how we dress the music. It's how we love one another. How are we seeking to love the world outside of these walls? How are we seeking to meet those deep spiritual needs and engage in that dark spiritual battle for the kingdom of God? If you want to be a missionary sending church, that's where it begins. Be a church that loves one another, loves the community around them enough to get messy in the darkness so that the name of God can break through. And may it never stop till it reaches the other end of the world. Maybe the last person who ever hears the name of Jesus will be a missionary sent out from Valley View Alliance Church. How cool would that be? I've made that challenge at several other churches, so I hope a lot of churches are competing each other to be the one who makes that happen. But we serve a good God. We serve a beautiful God. He has won the victory, and it is my hope that this church prays, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here in Valley View as it is in heaven, here in Hellam as it is in heaven, here in York County as it is in heaven. And may it just spill out to Pennsylvania, United States, and the utter ends of the world. I'm going to leave you today with this beautiful, beautiful passage. This gets me excited whenever I read it. It's Revelation 19, and I'm actually going to say, write down the reference. Don't turn to it right now. Write down the reference, and may you read it later this week. And allow it to, the images of it pour over you. But right now, just meditate on the image of Jesus returning to set the world to right, to restore what was broken, and establish his kingdom permanently here on earth. It's Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and I believe it is the Apostle John writing this passage. And it says, he writes, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepresses of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus has won the victory over sin and death. And one day he will return for his people and set the world, creation, to rights. But I want to draw your eyes. This is where we're closing today. I want to draw your eyes to a very important verse. In verse 14, it says this. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Well, that's kind of interesting. Now, I believe in this passage, the armies of heaven here refer to the believers, refer to us. That there will be that day when he comes, we will be on white horses dressed in fine linen, white and pure. But here's something really funny about fine linen, white and pure. Is in the desert, it is impossible to keep white clothes white. You know how rich a person is by how white their clothes are. Like you see a rich Senegalese man walking down the street, he'll be dressed in an outfit kind of like this. But oftentimes it will be like all white with like gold piping around the neck here. And he'll have all white pants. And in the bright Senegalese light, it's almost blinding how white his clothes are. Or on Sunday morning when there's a special celebration, everybody comes dressed in white. Or on a wedding or a funeral or a wedding, everybody will come dressed in white for those celebrations. They have their special dress clothes, all in white. What I believe wholeheartedly is that the armies of God, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, they're coming to battle in their dress uniform. Now, when I went to Iraq, there was one uniform I didn't bring with me. I didn't bring my dress blues with me. Because when you go to fight a battle, you wear your utilities. You wear your camouflage. You wear the stuff that you're going to get dirty. But the army of God is dressed in their dress uniform. What does this mean? They have not come to fight the battle. The victory, the battle, belongs to our Lord. It is Jesus who is going to lay the final victory. And we, as believers, our job in that moment is not to pick up sword or gun, but to declare the beauty and the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, to declare His justice and His righteousness in bringing judgment to the enemies of God, bringing judgment to the evil that has so plagued this world. We declare His love and mercy and grace, that He was gracious enough to forgive us, that we would have the authority to be called children of God, that He would clean our robes and give us white garments, fine and pure, that He would set us on white horses so that we could declare and witness to His love and majesty and justice and righteousness and grace and mercy. And so in that moment, we are declaring the beauty of our Heavenly Father and the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe today, nothing changes. I believe today that is still our job. Because we have been forgiven, we have been saved, we have been made clean because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, because we have been given the robes of Jesus, it is our job to bear witness to His beauty, His majesty, His love, and the way He's transformed us. We are His witnesses from here to the other ends of the earth. We don't go with sword or rifle. We go with the words of God. We go with a kingdom that is unstoppable. And it is my hope that the people of Valley View Alliance Church would bring all of that Jesus to all of the world. Let me close in prayer with the sermon. Lord Jesus, You are so good. I pray over Valley of View Alliance Church right now, Lord. I pray that the joy that I felt this morning would be contagious, that their love would grow for one another, that their joy would be made complete in You, Lord. And may their desire to see Your kingdom come become an irritation to Satan. And may You protect them against the attacks of the enemy. But I pray, Lord, that they would make a difference here and now in their community, and may that have ripples out into the utter ends of the earth so that we may see Your return in our lifetime, Lord. I pray this in Your beautiful and holy name. Amen.